Let's pray together this morning. If you'll bow your heads. Lord, it's so easy to let go of the simplicity of Christ and to get mixed up into things that are just complicated for complication's sake. This morning, Lord, we pause at the beginning of this week, Lord, and we say, Lord, we want to return to the heart of worship. Unpolished, maybe, and just, Lord, as we are, God, we come to you and we give you ourselves, Lord, imperfect, sometimes sinful, broken, hurting, Lord. We come to you, we give you, Lord, our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your mercies are new this morning. Lord, I thank you today that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Lord, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen. You say amen today? Amen. Grab a seat. These guys did a great job, don't you think? I want to give them a hand. My name is Jackson, and I am the interim pastor in this season with New Life. And I am just excited as all get up to be here. So good to be with the eldership yesterday and my boss, who is the consultant who the church has brought in. And I just, in worship, can I just share this that, I'm going to take the gum out of my mouth. Can I just share this? I sense so much that just like in, and I know this is, like in the natural, how it's just been kind of a long, hot summer. And some of you are like, and now it's cold. My mother-in-law, she's like, she's always cold. And so in the hottest part of summer where I'm just like, yuck, she's happy. So anyway, I just had this sense for the church that even in the natural, how there's been a switch and it's like you can feel it in the air now when you get up in the morning. I feel like there's a new breath of the Spirit that's being blown in this place. And honestly, the greatest days of this church are ahead of you. I believe that God has his hand. He has his hand on all churches, but I believe that the Lord has his hand on this place. And I just sense there's just a season of freshness and like a newness of life. So anyway, I'm supposed to finish talking about who I am. So I'm the interim pastor. I have a family. I'm married to one woman, and and she puts up with me most of the time. I have three kids, Judah, Ben, and Kenzie. And the first two boys, we were super spiritual, so we gave them Bible names. And then when we got to the girl, we were like, let's just name her Kenzie. When I'm not here preaching, I work at Gateway Alliance Church as their community pastor. And that's probably enough about me. Okay. Do we have any kids this morning? Can you guys come up to front? Do you mind, kids? Just send them up. Age limit? Let's keep it under 25. Just come and stand here. I'm going to teach you guys a song. Is that cool? Okay, the song goes like this. Look at them. Aren't they beautiful? Now there's nobody in the congregation. Okay, the song goes like this. Now just listen first. It goes like this. Be patient. Be patient. Don't be in such a hurry. Can you try that? Be patient. Be patient. Don't be in such a hurry. And then it goes like this. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember that God is patient too, and think of all the times that others had to wait for you. Can you do that? Okay, let's try from the top. We'll do it a couple times. Can you guys smile? Are you nervous? How do you feel about your singing debut? Good? Give me a thumbs up. Okay, we're gonna sing a song. Okay, it goes like this. Be patient, be patient. Don't be in such a hurry when you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember that God is patient too, and think of all the times when others have had to wait for you. Good job. Can you take a bow? Thank you, guys. You can go back to your seats. Make sure you grab coloring if you haven't. All right, the topic that I'm trying my very best to get through the gifts of the Spirit. And so last week I did love, joy, and peace. And then this week I'm going to do patience, kindness, and goodness. And I'm running out of patience in this series on the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm really considering skipping the last three, but I'm not going to do that. So this morning, what I want to talk about is that lesson from the kids sang this morning. The first thing I want to talk about, and I hate it too. I hate patience in the sense of that's an old joke. Don't pray for patience. The Lord will test you in it, right? So I understand that, but I also understand this, that patience, I think that it could save a marriage. I think that it could help with some of the hiccups of parenting. And I'm a parent too who loses their mind at their children from time to time, and I'm like, Lord, I need more patience. Even with my wife, Lord, and honestly, so the way it works with preachers usually is we try our best to follow, you know, this book, and then what happens is God really gets a hold of us when we write a sermon. It's like, you're going to talk about this to these people, right? And where is it in your life? And so I can honestly say that this has been the most patience that I have exercised in years this last week as I was writing this message. So the word patience, it means forbearance even under provocation. So when we talk about this, we're talking about character issues. Is our character, now when you talk about character, is your character being formed by the unknowns of life, or is your character being formed by the Holy Spirit? Romans 12:1, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There is a world system. There is a, right, we understand we battle not against flesh and blood. There's three things that the Christian battles against. The world, in the sense of like the world system. The world is, hey buddy, high five. Yeah. The world system, that was so ADD of me, I'm sorry. The world system is just that, it's dog eat dog. It's like there's no patience. The world system is, if you get a chance to climb the ladder, even if it means stepping on some toes or stabbing someone in the back, then do it. And yet the kingdom of God is so different. The kingdom of God is not about self-serving. It's about being sacrificial with your life. So we can either be molded, and it's so, you meet people all the time. Some people, they're like milk with age. They just get kind of more nasty, bitter, sour. And then there's some people, now am I going to get in trouble for this? They age like fine wine. The older they get, it's like there's more of God's Spirit in them. They're more patient. There's more of God's love oozing out. I made a decision years and years ago that I want to get sweeter with age. I want to be more like Jesus as I age. I want to be more patient, more grace-filled, more in awe of God. We are either formed by just life kicking and people live like that. People live where it's like they just live reactionary. And so, well, this happened to me, and so I'll never trust again. That's a worldly way. That's a worldly, what's a Christian decision, a godly decision? A biblical decision would be to say, that happened to me, but I'm going to choose to forgive and grow. I'm going to choose to turn the other cheek, right? So these two things. And so when we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, and that's just what they are, they're fruits. They're the evidences of being connected to the Holy Spirit. So we're either self-formed or we're spirit-formed. So patience. So listen to this. You probably heard this before. Two frogs fell into a tub of cream. One looked at the high sides of the tub, which were too difficult to crawl over, and said, "It's hopeless." So he resigned himself to death. He relaxed and he sank to the bottom. The other determined to keep swimming as long as he could. Something might happen, he said. He kept kicking and churning, and finally he found himself in a solid platform of butter and jumped to safety. Patience, they say, is a virtue, but according to Scripture, it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Let's just look at the main scripture that I'm exegeting from for this series. But the fruit of the Spirit is, remember he went before 3 weeks ago now, we talked about that before that in Galatians, he had this list of like, here's all the works of the flesh, boom, 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 boom. And then he's like, but the fruit of the Spirit, and he begins, he says, is love and joy and peace, talked about that last week, and then patience, kindness, goodness, and then the last three then are faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he says, against such things, there's no law. So you can be just as more patient. There's no one's going to stop you and say, I need to write you a ticket for your goodness. You're too good. Stop it. Right? So patience is a virtue. So as I was studying this, I thought, somewhere, somehow, someone has to have like done some research on like patience and kindness and stuff like that. And so there is actually a decent amount of research that has been done. But I want to talk about a few of the benefits of having patience in life. One is this, patience can help you, patience can help you avoid making hasty decisions, being an impatient person. Now, I don't know about you, but it's in moments when I'm being impatient with my spouse, with my kids, when I say stuff that I then regret. And I've found, as I'm on this journey as well, that if I'll just take a moment and take a breath and just be like, okay, it's not the end of the world if we're a little bit late, or it's not the end of the world, whatever. So it can help you avoid making hasty decisions. I found this Chinese proverb, listen to it. One moment of patience may ward off great disaster. One moment of impatience may ruin a whole life. So patience can help you from making, stop you from making hasty decisions. Secondly, patience transforms relationships. I remember when I was a younger, spunkier, more hot-headed preacher, getting into, you know, not an argument, but saying something to an older pastor and like, blah, 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 and I thought I knew better than him, and I kind of blah, blah, blah at him. And I don't remember what I said. And I remember his response, you know, there's that proverb that says, a soft answer turns away wrath. I remember his response was so patient, was so kind, and was so like Jesus-centered that it just made me feel like a complete fool. And patience will do that. So in relationships, we can become defensive and irritated and say things that hurt others. And we often don't realize the importance of patience. So that's two things. Three, patience helps you to be empathetic. Building empathy towards others is very important if you are to live a hassle-free life. If you get irritated by a child playing or a crying baby or something like that, there's no empathy in you. Patience helps build empathy. Fourth, patience helps us accept other people as they are and makes us tolerant. By being impatient, you suffer more than other people. Five, patience helps acquire a positive attitude. If things are not going the way you want them to, instead of getting frustrated, you have to learn to be patient. Six, patience makes you healthier. Anger and stress are two things that are enough that they ruin your health, and patience is the antidote to both of those. They call illnesses in the sense of anger and stress are illnesses. Patience is the remedy to that. Being patient, you can overcome more challenges of life by just waiting it out. So it makes you healthier. Patience is okay. God, I think that to say this, that we are not any more like God than we are when we are practicing patience. I don't know about you, but if I was God, I probably would have wrote me off years ago. And yet God is so ridiculously patient with us. He's patient with the world, it seems, waiting for people to come to repentance, people to realize their need for him. And so we are not, I think when we are being patient, we are acting like our Heavenly Father. Secondly, so patience. Secondly is this, so the second thing on there then is kindness. Now, we don't think about probably that concept that much, but you know, what is the normal of the world? The normal in our world is not kindness. The normal of our world is, if you cross me, I'm going to put you in your place and let you know. You ever use that? I'll give them a piece of my mind. You don't need to give anyone a piece of your unrenewed mind. Renew your mind. So kindness. So kindness is not the normal. It's not the autopilot of our world. Kindness, and a lot of people just think kindness is wasted. It's like, oh, that person is very kind. Well, you know, they're obviously just naive. I think that if you can go through the tumbles and roll with the punches of life and still have things like patience and kindness flowing out of your life, I don't think that makes you naive. I think that makes you kind of more like a spiritual giant. So kindness, Jesus said this, Luke 6:35. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Crazy to think that God's attitude towards those who are ungrateful. I don't know about you, but when my kids don't say thank you, it's a thing. Like, I'm like, say thank you. Maybe I'm not being that patient in it, I don't know. Because they're pastors' kids, a lot of times people will be like, hey guys, you know, in church, because they see me on, you know, the stage preaching or whatever. And so a lot of times they're just not used to it. It's like, why do people know my name? And they're walking around saying hi to me, and I'm always like, say hi. Like, don't be those kind of pastor's kids. Don't be rude. God is kind even to the ungrateful and the evil. Isn't that crazy? Love is patient and kind. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast, and it's not arrogant. Ephesians 2 and verse 7. I know I'm a little bit topical. Ephesians 2 and verse 7 says this, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in what? Kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. This is all over the Bible. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. See, these are the kinds of things that sometimes I think, do Christians read the Bible? Like, did they actually, you know, it was like, if we all did these kinds of things, the world would be different. Or maybe not the world, but our world would be different. As God's chosen, holy and beloved, put on then. I don't know about you, I put on my pants and I put on my shirt this morning when I got here. Thank God, otherwise it would be very awkward this morning. But he's like, this is the image that Paul gives as he's writing this letter to the church of Colossae. He's like, put on, just as you put on your clothing as you get ready, put on these things. And you can't, it's a pretty strong word picture. That, like, don't put on unholiness, don't put on, you know, anger, and don't put on, he says, put on compassion. Wear compassion. And kindness and humility and meekness and patience. These are qualities that are so lost in our day. Meekness. What in the world would you want to be? That's just for weak people. Okay. So I shared, if you weren't here a few weeks ago, I shared how I started taking jiu-jitsu. Now, it's one of the martial arts that is actually totally defensive. There is no punches, there's no kicks. The only way that you win a jiu-jitsu match is either by getting someone in an arm bar or leg bar and then beginning to make that very uncomfortable until they tap. Or you can choke them out until they tap. So I was telling you I went, remember I said a few weeks, I went to this class and I was like, guy a third the size of me, and the coach just said, he's like, just hold this guy on the ground, and I went flying. Anyway, so a few weeks ago, I've been doing this for like a month, so I know actually nothing. And so I'm up against the biggest, strongest Chinese guy I've ever seen in my life, okay? 6'3", 240 pounds. He is a big dude. Anyway, so we're doing this exercise. This is all part to do with the sermon, okay? So don't, I'm not just on a rabbit trail. So we're doing this exercise, and what it is so he's on the ground, and I'm coming around, pinning his legs, and then getting side control, so basically wrapping my arms around his neck and his arm so that he can't move. And so he's allowing this to happen, and so I'm like, I've been kind of practicing, I'm like, I can do this really quick, so I'm thinking, I'm going to throw his legs out of the way, and before he can roll back, I'm going to like jump down and grab him and pin him to the mat. And so the first time he goes, I throw his legs and I go down, and he goes, whoa, you're fast. And I'm like, yeah, I am. The second time I go to do it, I throw his legs and I go down to pin him, and all he does is just rolls out of the way. And bang, I land on the face first on the mat. That is a perfect example of meekness. Meekness is strength under his, not what I did. Mine is a perfect example of foolishness and how pride comes before a fall. But what he did is a perfect example of meekness. He is stronger than me. He's better than me. He has more control than me. And so what did he do? He thought he would just teach me a gentle lesson. And so that meekness is strength under control. When I wrestle with my sons, they're like, yeah, let's do this on the bed or whatever. And, you know, I'll let them pretend that they're pinning me, you know, and then be like, bam. Now, it wouldn't be wisdom if I was to use all my strength and be like, whack, knock one of my sons down. What are you going to do now, right? So meekness is that. It's strength under control. And these qualities, like these things like compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience, these kind of qualities, it actually takes a stronger person, in my opinion, a deeper person to exude some of these kinds of things. Now, once again, this is not a you should and you must and you ought. I'm saying that if you have a living relationship with God, then a result of that, a result of abiding in him and in his word, is that these kinds of things are coming out of your life. Okay, so I found this study. Listen to this. This is from PRN Newswire. One experiment completed in April 2017 involved 691 participants from 39 countries and investigated kindness to family, friends, strangers, and self. Participants performed acts of kindness every day for 7 days. Data from the experiment showed that kindness to all groups had a positive effect on the kind person's happiness, life satisfaction, compassion, trust, and positivity regarding humanity. Furthermore, the benefits increased as the number of kind acts were performed. So these findings, it says, supported the multiple experiments that have been confirmed by meta-analysis that that's from an Oxford University research thing. Five reasons to be kind. One, kindness is inbuilt. Performing acts of kindness may well be a choice, but the ability and the tendency to be kind appear to be something innate, something that we have even in infancy. And so they, in this one article that I read, they were saying that even a small child, because it's inerrant, it's inbuilt, even a small child, if a small child sees like an adult, you know, reaching to open a door and say they have, their hands are full, they're reaching to open a door, that the child will like try to help. And so it's kind of built in to who humans are. So performing acts of kindness is being true to our nature in that sense. Kindness can have positive effects on the brain. Not only does kindness make us and others feel good, studies have demonstrated that the psychological benefits are actually reflected in the neural circuitry of the brain. When we allow ourselves to be kind, regularly engaging in random acts of kindness, we create neural pathways that enhance feelings of well-being and the natural flow of feel-good endorphins is a result. In a 2003 study at the University of Michigan, found that people who regularly offered practical help to others had a lower risk of dying over a 5-year period than those who did not. Kindness also then is contagious. I don't know if I want to go into. Kindness is contagious. A fascinating feature of kindness is that it appears to be self-replicating, inspiring kindness in others. Simply put, when we ourselves perform an act of kindness, this is likely to encourage others to act in a similar way. One study conducted by researchers in Cambridge University found that seeing someone else help another person produce good feelings would subsequently cause them to reach out and do something themselves. When we are kind, we help make our world a kinder place. Kindness makes you happier. Of all the above reasons, if those aren't enough to convince you, a study conducted by the University of Pennsylvania looked at the effects of writing a thank you letter and personally delivering it to someone who had never been properly thanked for their kindness. In other words, performing an act of kindness and gratitude towards someone who had themselves been kind. Participants who did this were able to immediately exhibit a massive increase in happiness scores with benefits lasting for over a month, which is completely ridiculous in my mind. Another recent study conducted the Department of Psychology at Tohoku University in Japan looked at into the relationship between kindness and happiness. The results indicated that happiness was increased simply by counting kindnesses performed over the course of a week. The exercise also increased kindness and gratitude in participants. You know, it's, I was thinking about this years ago. I used to really see myself as very scholarly, and I had my 5 points that I held to, and I used to go on the internet and I used to argue with people, and I could crush some people. I think you didn't properly work that Greek word out, and some guy, as I was being a jerk on the internet, sent me a message in inbox and said, you know, theology doesn't actually come from a formula. He said, we don't worship a formula, we worship a person. And I was like, oh yeah. And you know, the truth is that God is not a formula to be memorized, but he's a person to be connected with. And if your relationship with God is just facts about God, or principles around, if you do this, then this will happen. But there's not like that actual connection, that actual planting, that you're going to have a hard time having these kinds of things come out of your life. Colossians 4 and verse 6. The last one is goodness, which I didn't want to... Goodness, it's like being... It literally means constructive action and reaching out to others. Aghast, those knows, whatever. I'm a bit butcher. I dropped out of Greek because I hated it. Anyway, Colossians 4, 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. There, in that verse of scripture, there's almost this, like, when you say, let your speech be with grace and seasoned with salt, I remember years ago looking into what that meant, and the commentator was, I think it was Wiersbe, was talking about how we can have an answer, and we can have our wits about us, and we can respond to people in a colorful way that's not cutting, that's not negative, but it's actually witty and still upbuilding. I'm going to have the guys come back up. Now, I want to add this. When we talk about these kinds of things, a lot of time people think, oh, so if you're a Christian, you're just supposed to be a doormat and let everyone just stomp on you. That is not the case. And I would, you know, if you're in a relationship that is unhealthy or abusive, I felt like I just had to say this. Don't think, okay, I'm just going to be more gracious with him or her. Because sometimes you do need to have a conversation and say, this is actually not acceptable behavior, what's going on here. That's enough for that. As we engage in the Spirit, that is how transformation is brought. Will you stand with me this morning? Is this helpful to anyone at all?
Yes.
Thank you. Two people here and one person in the back. Let's pray, and then we'll do our last song. Go out there and enjoy the day, because it's going to snow on Monday, I heard. That's a joke. There's no. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we as your children, as your kids, Lord, like, help us down here. Lord, we want to be the kind of people, Lord, who do the Christian walk and serve you in real time. Lord, these words about kindness and faithfulness, or kindness and meekness and all these kinds of things, Lord, help us. God, as we look to you and as we are connected to you, we expect that we will begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus' name. Can you say amen today? Amen. God bless you. Lift this song.